All right, we're going deep. We're going strong. This is American Christian. I'm Pete Cooper.
It's the podcast you need to hear.
It is. That's true.
Right.
You should be sharing this with your friends. I don't know why you're keeping this to yourself. I just don't get it. Hey, Doc, today we got a fancy title.
We do.
It's kind of a play on words, as you were saying, but this is what we're titling this one, Postmodern Tradition.
Wow. We're going to try to break that down for you today. Because we've been going hard and heavy here on the doctrine of the Bible.
Right.
And today we want to kind of try to wrap it up and put a bow on top of the package. And so what we want to go after today is, how does the Bible come out of the ancient world and speak authoritatively to us right now in 2022?
Right.
How does that happen? Should it happen? How does it happen? And what prevents it from happening? Probably most important.
That is a good point. It's kind of, again, we kind of get into this pendulum, don't we? Too far to one side or to the other, and we end up in this big, we end up in a big mess.
Right. So let's start with a scripture for this. It'll kind of guide us. In fact, let's read in Mark chapter 7 and verse 5. It says, "Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him," that is Jesus, "why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men."
Wow, there it is.
That's a big problem. When you take commandments of men that are based in a humanistic source and you teach them as doctrines to be observed.
Wow.
And so Jesus goes on, "For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do." He said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your traditions. And for Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban, that is, a gift given to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down, and many such things you do." So what Jesus is telling us here in this encounter with the Pharisees is there are understandings and things that are called traditions that when the Word of God with all its power, let's just say the Bible and what it teaches, and all its authority and all its power comes to address human life in the current moment, these things actually blunt that power and that authority and diffuse that out so that it doesn't have its effect.
Right. And that blunting that you're speaking about, that just hit me. It's the new language that's coming in on the left within the church that starts to take away, like, did Jesus really say, or would Jesus stand in the way of love between two people? Doctor.
So let's set this up, though, before you go there.
All right.
So there are two poles here, as you said a minute ago, Pete, two extremes that the pendulum swings to.
Right.
The one would be the Pharisees, like we have here, Jesus speaking to them and rebuking them for this, and they would be so far into the jot and tittle of the word, of the letter, to keep it, that opens the door for them to bring in traditions of man, because the authority of the word isn't being observed. Then the pendulum swings over to the other side. Now, this is us here today, to this postmodern, and remember, the big thing about postmodern is it just, everything goes. Your truth is truth for you, and that's great. And there's really nothing outside you that comes to correct you with truth, because you are your own truth.
Right.
And so on that whole, and that this is being brought into the church.
Right.
And there are certain traditions that go along with that, just like the Pharisees had back in Jesus' day. And there still are Pharisees today. There still is that swing of the pen. I know, because I used to be one.
Right.
Right. Okay, right. So there are those two poles. So tell us, Pete, then, about these traditions of man that are over on this postmodern side.
Well, and I think that it's also in the blunting of the verbiage, right? It's like they're just like trying to make everything Jesus was a refugee, or Jesus would never get in the way of the love between two people, which I said before, which is like, it's about love. Doc, it's more about a monogamous relationship between a man and a man, or a woman and a woman.
Whoa.
Or a man and his horse. I don't know. Like, what do you do with that? So it's a spiritual sounding language, not only that. So how about Jesus accepts foreigners and strangers? God doesn't create walls that prevent us to coming to him. People need to live their truth, Doc.
There's the postmodern dogma.
There it is. You know, if it's true for you, it has to be good, right? No.
And I just have to accept you, though you're different than me,
yeah.
but it's you.
Right. And you know what? If you're going to have an affair and you're going to want to cheat on your wife, I'm going to help you because you're in love with that person.
Right. And you know where this all breaks down if you push it in every position like this, every teaching like this,
yeah.
should be able to be pushed to its edge and still be true, right? So what if my personal truth is I really hate you, and I'm pulling a gun out from under this table, I'm going to shoot you and kill you. That's my truth.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you can't tell me that's not my truth.
I'm going to destroy your business because you were a competitor.
How could you stop me from doing that?
I could shoot you first.
Well, you could.
I could run away.
Okay.
Right? I could. I don't know. Like, I don't know. How would you do it?
Wouldn't these postmodern people have to kind of fall back on some kind of system of law?
Ah.
And if they did that, wouldn't the law have to be based on some kind of pre-understanding of how our nation was put together, with a constitution, with a declaration of independence, and God being the source? But they don't want to do that.
Dude, you think about the whole political system.
So the authority, what you do in practice, what you speak and say, and how you live your life,
that's good.
Has got to be based on an authority that's valid.
Right. Well, okay, so...
But they would say, well, it's valid because it's mine.
Well, okay.
But I'm here to say, no, it's not valid because it's yours. It's valid because it's valid. And it has to be established from outside yourself.
Okay, so then people that want to get an abortion travel to another state because the law says that I can. How do you... Oh... Now what do we got?
Now we have an immoral, unjust law that needs to be changed.
But we've had this law for so long that this has just become, we've trained up our daughters to believe
right.
that they have this choice to do whatever they want. And you know what? Maybe I'm going out on a limb here, but God does give you the choice to do whatever you want to do. That's the free will.
Oh, yeah.
But there are consequences, and
exactly.
there are consequences to to abortion. There are consequences to adultery. There are consequences to pornography.
All right. So maybe that leads us right back to the middle ground where the pendulum should stop and not swing anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. And that is real love.
Yeah.
Tells you the truth.
Yeah.
And lives the truth before you, just as Jesus did. Jesus not only spoke the truth, he lived the truth with his practical actions. And so it denies the validity on the one side of the Pharisaical approach of creating all this extra baggage that goes along with this.
Mm.
Well, you know, it does say honor your father and mother, which means take care of them financially in their senior years.
Right.
But we got this teaching here that just says, Corban.
Yeah, so tell us about that.
Well, that's where you take a large sum of money and you give it to the temple and the priests there. It should have gone to your parents. It was kind of like the ancient view of Social Security.
Ooh.
But instead of giving it to your parents, you do a quote-unquote spiritual thing with it, and you give it to the temple.
Mm, and then alienate your folks.
And your folks are left begging in their old age.
Wow.
Now, realize their social structure there was quite a bit different than ours. In your senior years there was no Social Security. It was the family. The family was supposed to take care of the family.
Right.
And their tradition of man, Corban, kept them from doing that. So that's how it works on the side of the Pharisees. Now, on the other side, our postmodern progressives of today's world, their traditions of man, and they would hate it to have them called that, but that's what they are.
Hmm. What is a man?
I am. What is a woman? No, but I am my own truth. That's a tradition of man. And I bring that. So there's a collision over here on this side. The Bible is standing here by itself, and it's saying, wait, I'm truth.
Right.
And you're over here, well, I'm truth.
Yeah.
Well, how are you going to get together if you're both truth? What if you say something different than what this truth says here that is in the center?
Right.
That is the revelation of the will of God.
That's good.
You have to turn the dials over here. In your own life, in your own speech, in your own ideas, and your tradition, which...
Yeah.
Maybe it starts out as gay marriage is okay.
Right. Or some people are born gay.
Yeah.
Some people...
That's a big one.
Yeah.
It's a tradition that has existed in our culture now for decades.
But it is becoming more and more perverted in that let's take our kindergarten through third graders...
Exactly.
...and throw that... I will determine whether or not, as a teacher...
And don't tell your parents about this, because they don't understand this stuff.
You know,
this is big right now in the USA.
It is, and it's starting to come out, the fallout
but
from
the
it.
But the bigness for us is it's coming into the church.
Well, and hence why we're
That's
why we're having this conversation.
Right.
Because there are, and we know that that's a very real thing. I'm sure that as a listener, you have been hearing these kinds of reports that have been coming out. Look, if pastors that will say, hey, look, anybody here that is part of the L, the G, the B, the T, or the Q, we want you to know that you are welcome here, and we are not going to do anything to affect you or to change your mind towards things, but just know that Jesus loves you and everything's going to be fine.
Right.
And so what do you do when the car accident occurs on the way home, and now this couple, they're dead? And they're going to hell. What do you do with that? Like, how... You have to get rid of hell, right?
Well, right.
Yeah.
So it's a package deal. You bring in the traditions.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, well, now the Bible says this is wrong.
Right.
But and then we read a guy as we were preparing for this who said, well, I'm not destroying the Bible or anything. It's just how you interpret it. Well,
yeah.
I mean, how else do you interpret except by changing it when you're over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6?
Let's go there.
Let's go there. I mean, and it's pretty blatant. In verse 9, Paul the apostle says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." And here's the real kicker for the church. You know, all this going on out in the society that we live in, that's one thing. They're right. apart from God, they don't know God, and okay, and we want to reach them, we want to love them, properly speaking, want to tell them truth, whatever we can do to reach them. But it's in the church that we're really trying to address the issue and to say that traditions of man have been brought in here through a postmodern screen, and you just read a pretty good list of them.
Right.
Because look at what Paul says in verse 11. Here's the answer. Oh, this is just hate speech. Oh, this is just, you know, a bunch of religious Pharisees hating people that aren't like them. No, here it is. Such were some of you.
Right.
Paul's writing to the Corinthian believers in a city that we call now the Las Vegas of the ancient world, Corinth.
Wow.
It was wild. Such were some of you, that through this whole list that we just read, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, the whole list.
Right.
Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
Hallelujah.
So you were those things, but you're not anymore. Now you are a righteous child of God. Because the Word of God came, you were washed with the water of the Word, but you had to repent.
Right.
And you had to acknowledge that what you were doing was wrong.
Yeah,
and it's the same on both sides. That's on the liberal progressive side trying to infiltrate the church. But the Pharisees over on this other side don't have to infiltrate. They're already there. Okay, and they're doing their stuff over here in judgmentalism and critical speech and accusations and those kinds of traditions of man coming and blunting the word. So on both sides, the word of God is being blunted and diffused away from its real power.
Wow. That's a... Oh, my word. So, the beginnings of Heart of the Father, right? You have...
Year 2000. Y2K.
Right?
Remember.
Yeah, it was Y2K. And you were in this Pharisaical authoritative position.
Well, in 97.
Right.
That happened, actually,
right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, but you started learning about the Heart of the Father.
And Jesus came to me and he said, "Now, David, I realize you're a Pharisee, but I know, since I'm Jesus and I know all things, that that's your real truth. So I'm just going to respect you and love you and everything's going to be okay."
Gosh.
No, I mean, that's not what Jesus was doing that day in May of 1997.
Right.
He was there for confrontation. I fell into a conviction and a remorse and a sorrow over my sin.
Right.
And I was incapacitated.
And born and raised in the church.
Right.
Literally.
For 3 days.
Yeah.
I was over on this Pharisaical judgmental side.
So, okay, so that we'll call that an extreme, right? And then on the other side, we've got... You could say that the love of the Father has now been blunted with anything goes.
Because God loves you. He'll love you no matter what
you do. No matter what you do.
No matter what you say, you can't make God not love you.
Yeah. And what?
Well, that may be true, but the other problem is you also can't make God not judge you at the end of the age.
Whoa. That's a good word.
There's going to be a whole bunch of people that God loves in hell.
Yeah.
That's the stark truth that we have to face.
There's a separation, in other words, that's going to happen at the end of the age.
That's right.
There is us and them. There is going to be the believer and the unbeliever.
So the love has got to come to us by...
Centered.
In the center, but from the Word of God.
Yeah.
And the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Ministering into the heart of the person. And the good news of the gospel is both of these extremes could let their traditions of man begin to fall down, drop their what do they call them on Star Trek, the shields?
Oh.
Let your shields down. Right? On the Enterprise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let your shields down.
Yeah.
Because with your shields up, the Word of God is just going to bounce off of you.
And you know what? What the enemy wants to do then, in the Star Trek analogy, right? Is that the shield is up, but you're taking the pounding from the outside traditions of men that are coming up against those shields.
Mm-hmm.
And Scotty's down there saying, we've only got about 30% of our shield left.
Right.
Right? And at what point, Christian, do you succumb?
Right.
Right? To the things of this world. And that's the danger, Doc.
So think of it this way, listener, then, over on the progressive liberal side that is trying to infiltrate this stuff into the church. God loves everybody. Well, he does. It's what you do with truth when you begin to expand it out beyond where it was intended to be.
Hmm.
By the actual Word of God and what it says. Yeah, he does love everybody, but that doesn't mean everybody's going to heaven.
Right. True.
In and of itself. So that shield that is there shielding that progressive liberal thing is a tradition of man that's got to be rooted out and exposed for what it really is.
Right, and the Word will do that.
It does.
So,
give us some more of those specific ones you had there, Pete, on that side of the traditions of man.
Well, I think to be, and just listeners, so you know where we're at here, we're reading from a book called The Christian Left, how liberal thought has hijacked the church. And author on that would be Lucas Miles. Now, this book kind of came and hit the radar, right, as it does. And so when I started reading this, I was like, oh, wow, this is like for right now. These are all the things that we've been talking about on this program, for one. And two, these are some of our discussions that we've been talking about, right? Because we're trying to ready the camp to come out against what the liberal left is trying to do to the church, and it's infiltrating the church. Here's another one. Real Christians accept everyone, Doc.
Well, once again, there's an element of truth in that statement.
Yeah, but you know what? If you got a guy in your church that is lusting after everyone's daughter, a 16-year-old daughter, at some point you're going to have to pull up a boundary and say, out.
Mm.
Get out.
Mm.
You don't get to be here. You don't get to sell drugs to my kids in youth group.
Mm.
You don't get to molest our third graders in kinder, right? In kinder care. So this becomes a problem. is that it seems as though that the borders that are supposed to be protecting the body of Christ are starting to be lowered, and we're letting just let anybody in.
No, it's one thing for those boundaries to be moved around and lessened in the general society, but it's quite another thing for that to happen in what we call the church.
Right. And, you know, I mean,
where our children, our grandchildren could possibly be in jeopardy even in going into church.
I would say that most churches, I mean, today, now.
Yeah.
That, look, you're going to have a background check before you come in here. There's going to be all that, but there still seems to be.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, there still seems to be the things that slip through, or people that defect from the Christian faith, a youth leader that ends up having a relation with one of his seniors, that kind of a deal, or pastors that end up sleeping with the choir director, or where moral failure comes in. But how do you prevent? I mean, and then to say, hey, look, you know, I know that this went on in the church, but look, don't judge me. I'm not up here to judge you. You shouldn't be in the pews judging me, even though I fell. And look, I've already gone through the whole process of blah, 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 right? To be restored or not be restored, or where's the accountability?
Yeah, well, that judging thing is interesting, isn't it?
It is an interesting thing.
I've
heard that most of my Christian walk. About don't judge me.
And that's based on Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 7, of course, and a certain interpretation of them. But what if we read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where we were before?
What?
In verse 1,
it
says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world?
Uh-oh.
Judge not, but we're going to judge the world?
Really? Who's in the world? People.
And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters?
Wow.
Do you not know that we shall judge angels?
Wow.
How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge?
Dr. Nichols, you just blew that whole thing up.
Well, I also happen to believe that the Word of God has power and authority to address the current situation. And here's the thing. This is what it all comes down to.
Yeah.
Is if, as a unit of human existence, me, myself, and I, we three, which have a great relationship amongst ourselves.
Most of the time.
Right. If I can be corrected, taught, instructed from outside myself.
Hallelujah.
That's really what this comes down to.
Yeah. And to measure when an outside judgment comes in and to say, wait a minute, because, again, here's the extremes. You can have the Word take a look at that and correct that, or you can have government look at that, or you can have your university professor, teacher, outside coworker, everybody else giving their two cents, but at the end of the day, where's the truth?
What's the opinion that really matters?
There you go.
And the ultimate outcome for it is, and this is a horror of horrors for postmodern minds in operation, is could I be wrong?
What?
Could it possibly be?
Oh my gosh, we're going to have to edit this.
And I take you back to our fabled Nichols family reunion that we had some years ago where one of my cousins had t-shirts made up for us. I am a Nichols. I am not always right, but I'm never wrong. And you'd have to know our family. And I know most families probably have that.
Right, they have it somewhere, right?
But that is the deal. And if the word, the scriptures, do not have the power to tell us we're wrong, we're in big trouble.
Right. You know, every voice that you hear does not deserve to be honored respected.
That's right.
Some voices are under the authorship of evil, mm-hmm. period. They just are.
Sin
and the fallen man or woman giving instruction to the liberated new creature, right? Because that's really our listeners. That's who we are. Right. So where are you going to take your word from?
Well,
correction from.
And if you're going to maintain your position in this progressive liberalism and bring it into the church, then you're going to have to redefine the word sin.
Yeah.
Sin can no longer be breaking the laws of God and becoming accountable to God's justice and righteousness.
Mm.
And the only way you get out is through repentance and faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord.
Hallelujah.
Sin is acting in an inauthentic manner against who you really are inside yourself. That's what sin is.
Mm.
In this postmodern progressivism. So you have to be alert for these subtle changes that come in, and they like to co-opt the language, as you said.
Right.
And we're not going to let that happen.
Right.
We're going to point it out, and we're going to identify it, and we're going to say it is by grace that you are saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He shed his blood. He gave his life. He was the only innocent one that could do that. And when he did that, he put in place salvation for all of mankind.
Right. And when, as soon as you call upon the name of the Lord, and as soon as you move into repentance by faith, it is done. There's no dragging through the, right?
And it assumes that you and I are found in a condition of sinful lostness away from God.
Right.
Wow, yeah. There's the gospel, Pete.
That's a good news, Doc.
It is
every day.
It is all the time.
All right.
Well, I think we should pray for our listeners.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we just lift up these precious people that are listening today. Father, that the appreciation and the grasp of the knowledge and wisdom that is in your word will be theirs. And Lord, that these blinders, these shields that different forces and even demons have tried to cast up in our society to blunt the force of the Word of God are taken down in Jesus' name. And that the Word of God can speak directly to your mind, directly to your heart, directly to your spirit within you. And guide your thoughts, guide your actions, and your obedience.
Thank you.
To the one who made this all possible, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray it in his holy name. Amen.
And amen.